If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is tedious on the right stuff.biz.
If you're hearing my voice right now, something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. Unless this is just how you want to live, who am I to tell people to stop listening to free content that's constantly interrupted that has to deal with my voice and whatever audio quality this is going to come out in? Who am I to tell people that they should be getting behind the paywall at the rightstuff.biz/paywall? Especially if they're not white, which I assume that's what you probably are if you're hearing my voice right now. That's just my assumption. It could be wrong, but I mean, if you're not white, legally you do have to tell me that you're not white. I told Sven that I'd record some commercials for him, and at first I thought I was going to put some effort into it, but then I realized, why don't I just ramble in the dumbest way possible and force you to listen to it? Because that's what you're doing right now. You are listening to this. Mike was probably saying something very interesting, something very insightful, and now you're listening to me. Is this really what you want? Is this how you want to live? Do you want to be non-white? Because again, I just assume that's what you are. You could always fix that. You could rectify this problem by going to therightstuff.biz/paywall and getting yourself a subscription, and then you'll never have to hear me again, you know, unless I'm filling it or something.
I have to go refill my coffee.
Okay.
We're so behind schedule. I'm going to post prep while you're talking. And at some point in the audience's time, I'm going to go get more coffee.
This is the good stuff. The wild
stuff. Did you share your screen?
Oh, I didn't share the screen? No, you can't see the screen now, Alex. That's how it has to be. Just how it has to be. We're behind schedule.
That's fine.
We're behind schedule. Where's the screen? Where's the screen share? Preview unavailable. There you go. I can see my empty coffee mug.
Google is freaking utterly useless.
Everything is useless.
Like, Google used to be able to type something that was like, you didn't know exactly what it was. It was something you kind of had a vague memory of, and you typed a kind of a brief description of it, and you would get it. I used to have that experience. Now, I don't have that experience now. Well, All I get is what you're looking for. Corporate sponsored shit.
Oh, yeah.
What I'm looking for is, because we were talking about songs about censorship. And there's an Irish folk song.
Politically charged.
People, but it's not really. It's just, it really isn't. Because it's actually just funny. People in the comments will know the song I'm talking about. I forget what it's called, and I forget who it's by. But it's basically like, you know, you better not say this or those, you know, you better not talk about, you know, you need to talk to
Brooke Goldstein about that.
You know what I mean?
Brooke Goldstein.
Right.
I feel like you're enabling Jew hatred right now.
Well, you just committed like the modern category error. It's like it's politically charged. If it's about censorship, you have to censor it. You can say it's funny all you want, but it's not.
But it's an old song.
You're falling for like the Opie and Anthony, like, comedian bit. We're like, why can't we just do as you? It's like, no, it's like, you don't get to just do, like, racially charged or gender charged humor.
Here's the thing, though.
Just because on the excuse that it's funny. Here's my thing, though.
Like, this song is from, like, the 70s. It's old, and it could be applied to anything.
I don't see how this changes.
That's, like, the irony of it. And it's probably, like, it's probably actually referring to, like, the Troubles or something like that.
But
I can't remember the name of it, and I'm just really annoyed because I search it. I search for something kind of like it, and I get some fucking Disney song. Like, I don't want a Disney song, and I get nothing but that.
As a Jewish lawyer, I respect your right legally to search for that song, but I'm going to destroy your entire fucking life now.
Well, here's my thing, though. Here's what I want to say. This song not being findable with a basic description of it is not actually, in my opinion, a result of censorship of the song. It's a result of Google becoming a useless pile of trash. Because, like, I guarantee you, years ago, I could have easily typed a brief description of what I was looking for and gotten it. Because I used to do that all the time. People would always, like, wonder, how is it you managed to immediately find something? I'm like, because I use Google properly. Like, I understand how it's supposed to work. Like, I know that it will, like a rough description of what I'm looking for will yield me results that are kind of like what I'm looking for. That's not true anymore. That is not true. It hasn't been true for at least 2 years that I've been noticing it. Maybe it's gone on longer.
My experience is with Google, if it's something totally mundane, you can misspell something into Google and it will tell you what you're actually looking for.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Well, that's easy enough, yes.
So I'm thinking just like what you're looking up. I just think there's a committee that decides like this or that is too controversial. Let's bury it underneath this, and this. And
but I don't think that's what it is. In this case, I'm sorry to keep countering.
I think that might be like a collateral damage from that policy.
It's a collateral damage, but see, if I had it exactly right, I would get it, no problem. The issue is,
because
I've found the song within the last like month or two, right? I just can't remember what it's called.
Oh, okay.
I've listened to it recently.
That's different.
The point is that, so it's definitely not because the song is too edgy, because it's really not. It's actually an ironic, funny song, but whatever. My point is that Google, even if you're searching for something that's not controversial, you get nothing but corporate garbage.
You do get a bunch of ads.
It's totally useless. Like, I got a song called "We Don't Talk About Bruno," and I'm like, "What the fuck is this?" And
oh, it's that's like that Disney song. Yeah, that's that Spick movie they made.
But I don't want to see that.
No, nobody wants to see that.
I don't want to see that. I really resent the fact that it's Spick movie means that I can't find this funny little Irish ditty that I wanted to listen to.
I wonder why we don't talk about Bruno. I never looked into what that movie was about.
I don't care. I don't talk about it because I don't give a shit about your Beaner movie.
Like Beaner stuff. They're Colombians, I think. But
whatever.
Like, there's all kinds of weird Beaner
stuff. Are they being trafficked?
Is
this the sound of Bruno?
The sound of Bruno. Bruno San Martino.
The reason we don't talk about Bruno is because that's that old Sacha Baron Cohen character.
Oh, there's that Bruno. Retired. Yeah. You don't want to talk about him.
No.
That's gross.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, my point is like politics aside.
That's what I was
gonna say. Google is trash.
If you happen upon something you want to search for and that happens to be the name of a product, you get completely directed to Google shopping links, and it's all for that, and you can't find anything. And for God forbid, if you want to find out about that product, no, here's just a bunch of links where you can buy it. Which I'm like looking at, like, does Google even get a kickback for these links? Because they're just clicking through to somebody else's site to go buy it. It's weird. Well, it's not weird.
Dude, I did a different search and I get like House of Pain. It's like, just kill yourself, Google. Just fucking
House
kill
of
yourself.
Pain, like the rap group from.
Yes, from like the 90s.
Well,
80s,
we 90s. Can't be white rappers, but we can be Irish rappers.
Dude, just fucking kill. There's a good song, Top of the Morning, to you. Just kill yourself. I hate that song.
That was always embarrassing right from the start. I'm like, you guys aren't.
All that stuff.
I was just being like, you guys aren't Irish. You guys are white. It's like, but you're not allowed to gimmick yourself as like, I'm a white rapper. Like, well, what Irish?
Dude, this is utterly useless. This is so useless. This search to get Sinead O'Connor.
Oh, yeah.
The Dubliners.
I didn't know she was sick.
Yeah, she did.
I didn't know she was sick.
She died, whatever. I don't care. But it's just, this is an utterly useless fucking application. It's like, you fucking, just kill yourself. For the love of God.
Yeah, she did, whatever. I don't care.
You cannot get, like, try and find something that's not like a top commercial product searching on Google or like a top like website of a major corporation. You're not going to get it. They have utterly destroyed this service that they had created, and everybody still uses it. You know, I didn't realize this, but even if you wanted to find help, like if you were trying to find technical help with something, it's totally useless. It used to be really good for that. You just search what you're having a problem with and it'll find you a link that was helpful. No longer. Additionally, coding is totally dead, just so everyone knows. Remember the whole learn to code thing? That's dead. Coding is dead. No one codes anymore. All the fucking examples of like how to help with coding and stuff, they're all like 10 years old. You go to Stack Overflow, all the posts are 10 years old. No one's making new posts on that. It's over. It's done. It's done. All of it. The internet is done. The internet is done.
Who's making code then?
Computers are.
I heard that Google was going to implement some kind of DRM system, which would essentially... Yeah. Really, actually, break the entire.
It's over.
Internet.
It's over. At that point, it's over.
Whoa! What is the DRM on? What are they going to DRM? Code?
Everything.
Which is probably everything.
Everything.
Yeah, they're going to DRM everything.
They're going to essentially, what they're trying to implement is a way to look and see what applications you're running while you're using the internet, and deny you access. Because you remember back in the day, if you went on a government website, sometimes you had to use Internet Exploder for a particular government website.
Yeah.
It's that same kind of thing, because they can determine what browser you're using and then just say, oh, well, that's the wrong browser. You're not allowed to access this.
That wasn't why with the government. The reason was because government websites were like
trash.
The reason was because there was different. I mean, this used to literally be part of my actual professional job. There was differentiating standards back in the day.
I remember that.
Between Netscape and government only ever used Microsoft everything, so they only ever coded there. And JavaScript, even the language JavaScript was different depending on the browser you used. It wasn't standardized at all.
Wasn't there just JavaScript and then there was also Java?
There was Java and JavaScript are totally different. There was Java and there was JavaScript and there was JScript. Microsoft implemented something called JScript that had a totally different object model than JavaScript. There were some libraries that would fix that for you, and you could unify it into one set of code. And one of the first ones that did that was called jQuery, which is very funny.
So what's very funny is what's funny is Google's going to do that to the internet. No one's going to even have the slightest interest in stopping them, and the internet's going to be dead.
But it's also, just so you understand, like, knowing what browser you're using is like everything tracks that.
Oh, hey, Goy. Herschel here. Are you listening to a free fag episode of The Daily Shower? Do you need a small personal loan so you can afford a paywall subscription? I may be able to help you out. For the very low price of just $10 a month, you can listen to Mike finish his talking points without annoying promotional bits like this one. Log on to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your white man's agency level. E-checks, money order by mail, or cryptocurrency. Support TRS's efforts in shutting down yids like me.
Mm-hmm. And that they've done it for like as long as the internet's been around.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing new.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's not new. But the idea of, like, you're not using the approved software, or you've got a plugin that's a pop-up blocker. We don't like that. Get out of here.
Sure,
or
yeah. I mean,
maybe you're using OBS to try to, like, record an entire video that you're watching. No, you're not allowed to do that.
Ooh. Oh, that...
To support that.
Well, that actually... We used to have that with that Pajit service we were using. We still have that.
Well, that Pajit service also had, like, oh, you're trying to view this video. We're going to prevent that from happening out of just sheer, like, fucking
incompetence. Yeah.
That was what that Pajit service was
Yeah. Well, if there's all kinds of DRM and stuff, but, I mean, if they're trying to use a, you know, and frankly, your browser should come with a plop up. I'm messed up today. Pop up blocker built in. Like, I think, like, that's a basic function. Like, I know on Breivik, like, you don't get pop-ups. It's just part of it. It's built into the browser.
I get pop-ups all the time on Breivik. What are you talking about?
Pop-up windows?
Or whatever. Windows? Well, they're not windows. Things that pop up on the screen. They just don't use the actual, like, open a new window version. Because I think they probably just don't bother anymore. But
there's probably all new advances
if you block
browser,
all scripts,
ways
it won't
to,
do that.
Ways to access all this shit. So, yeah. I don't know. I used to know all about this. But, yeah, I mean, I could imagine that they do that. But a lot of companies do that themselves. Like the
So is Google saying they want to go through and they're going to find software in your system and disable it? Is that what's going on, Alex? Like, I would love to know the specifics on this.
Now he's muted.
Oh, I muted myself. I think what you're going to end up with here is you buy your user device, like your phone, and you can use that just fine, your Google phone, your Android, whatever. But the second you try to use anything that's more traditional, like we would have, like a desktop computer where you've got your plugins, maybe you're using some sort of like random ass open source browser, then you will run into problems. And they do seem to be wanting to just brute force you into watching ads because the revenue is just not there.
Because
you know how this works.
Here, I've got an article here. Google's browser security plan slammed as dangerous, terrible DRM for websites.
And
it's
just going to go through. It's going to work. They're just going
to
do it.
The solution to the surveillance economy seems to be more surveillance, Vivaldi boss tells El Red.
All right, so it's Vivaldi trying to get in on
Opera. A number of different companies are doing this. Which is funny is Vivaldi is a port of Google Chrome. Anyway, Google's Web Environment Integrity, WEI, proposal, according to one of the developers working on the controversial fraud-fighting project, aims to make the web more private and safe.
You know, you can do anything if you're fighting fraud. If you're fighting fraud, that's carte blanche. You can do whatever you want.
Ben Weiser, a software engineer at Chocolate Factory, responded on Wednesday to serious concerns about the proposal by insisting.
The chocolate factory's that around the corner.
I look, I don't. Let's press forward.
Oh, man.
No, it's by insisting, you get the lemonade and
by insisting the corner, that WEI aims to address. No, around the corner is where like the Google headquarters is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what this guy's. Well, he's the chocolate factory.
I guess that's what they call it, Google headquarters.
Yeah. Yeah.
WEI aims to address online fraud and abuse without the privacy harms enabled by browser fingerprinting and cross-site trafficking. WEI experiments part of a larger goal to keep the web safe and open while discouraging cross-site tracking and lessening the reliance on fingerprinting for combating fraud and abuse, he explained in a GitHub issues post. Fraud detection and mitigation techniques rely... I'm actually really interested in this.
I know, but I want to know details. Like, I want to know what the fraud and abuse is.
I want to know what it's trying to accomplish first.
Because I have a feeling fraud and abuse is not having to watch ads on your Red Letter Media video.
Yeah. Let's see.
I'm assuming that's what the fraud they're trying to stop. Like, that's fraud. Well, that's abuse. If you're stopping our revenueing efforts, you're abusing our website. Fraud, I don't know what that is. Fraud, they probably just say that. Fraud is probably using a VPN to obscure your browser fingerprinting or to alter it in some way to make you less traceable. Okay. That's probably fraud, because you're defrauding the entire internet by hiding your... Right.
It explains it here. So let me keep reading here, because now I'm actually interested in this. WEI is an attestation scheme. It provides a way for a web publisher to add code to a website or app that checks with a trusted third party, like Google.
Everybody
to see
them.
Whether a visitor's software and hardware stack meets certain criteria to be deemed authentic. Technically
Why do we trust Google?
It's a trusted third party. Don't ask. Don't ask questions.
Is it because they are a large multinational
Don't ask questions. Just trust.
Has monopolistic control.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why you trust them.
Well, you trust them because they have 65% market share. And you can't do anything about it.
You have nowhere else to go, so you trust them.
Right. So
they wouldn't. Nobody would ever like do wrong with that kind of.
Don't ask questions. Trust corporate giant and get excited to trust next corporate giant. Right.
I'm excited.
Yes.
So the stack.
So
meets certain authenticity.
Theory, okay. Technically speaking, attestation is just a matter of transmitting a token with the value derived from. As yet undisclosed hardware and software characteristics. Oh, that's nice. So we don't ever get to know what are these pieces of our hardware.
This is the digital ID stuff.
But this isn't fingerprinting, right?
I stop you? This is digital ID. This is what they were doing. This is why you had to totally stop the COVID vaccine. And now COVID's over and they're moving forward with this anyway. Yeah. So again, another example of how
the COVID vaccine was never going to be part of any of this.
Well, this was all rolled in with this. This is the WEF, you know. It's not like that. Like no, all WEI. These tech companies moved. It's not that they moved all these companies to Israel and all this hardware stuff has backdoors.
That's what it stands for. World
Digital ID.
Israel.
And this is. See, you're not serious about fighting this because you're not out there doing a mask protest or a jab protest. So
I'm guessing.
Quick aside with that.
More than anything, this is just going to become a huge pain in the butt.
I'm sure it'll be the pain in the butt will be like whatever you have that doesn't meet these criteria, and you have to get new equipment. And your new equipment, basically, you're going to end up with like Steve Jobs is finally, you know, he's not rolling in his grave. He's finally getting his dream come true. All these electronic web devices are going to be totally closed system. You have no control as like no amateur can go in there and tinker around with it. You know, everything is going to be locked inside of an app store. Everything's going to be approved by one source or two sources, Apple and Google, and he's finally got.
That's what I don't like about it. So anyway, I'm actually very curious here, so I want to learn more. Transmitting a token with a value derived from as yet undisclosed hardware or software characteristics that indicates whether or not the client is trustworthy. That's you. Then up to the corporations are going to determine whether or not they trust you.
Right.
Then up to the website publisher to decide how to respond to that signal. In theory, if effectively implemented, WEI could allow a web game publisher to check whether game players are cheating through the use of unsanctioned hardware or software.
Oh, I'm sure that's
at stake here. Yeah, that's what's really important.
It's going to be for something that innocuous. That's what it's going to do good.
Wait, hold on a second. Or it might be used by a content publisher to check whether ads are being displayed to real visitors or fraudulent bots or at all. The worry is that WEI potentially be used to disallow ad blocking, to block certain browsers, to limit web scraping, still largely legal, though often disallowed under websites' terms of service, to exclude software for downloading,
this is what you're gonna
YouTube
have.
Videos, or other content, and impose other limitations on otherwise lawful
you're gonna
web
have
activity.
A, you're going to have an ad blocker, and they're going to have their ad blocker blocker, and you're going to have an ad blocker blocker blocker, and then we're going to be back right to where we were. That's what I predict. You're not going to watch ads if you don't want to.
So, what WI's attestation check actually looks for has not been revealed, nor is it evident from the WEI code that has been added to the Chromium open source project. But Weisner insists WEI is not designed to single out browsers or extensions.
Oh, no.
And is not designed to block browsers that spoof their identity. However, the intended use of a technology isn't necessarily a limitation on it being employed in tricky new ways. So, I think what's going on here. Now, there's been various DRM schemes throughout, and there's actually a standard for internet DRM that's been implemented by some things, like that Bajit service we were using was implementing.
Oh, God. And that shit was a nightmare.
And one of the things about web standards is that they're not implemented, they're not always implemented in browsers, or they're implemented, there's something like it, but it's not up to the actual spec, the actual standard decided on by like the W3C, whatever the hell it is. Yeah, the W3C.
I say WEF.
Yeah, the WEF.
Fast Schwab doesn't right. like your browser.
But so now the thing is, this isn't a W3C. This isn't a standards creating body that is creating this. This is Google that's creating this. And they're going to roll it out, and they're going to be the one that checks right. it. So what they're doing is they're like, we're going to create this. Now you are invited to implement this, you as a publisher, and that will give you theoretically ways to check things. But also in so doing, you are partnering with Google to do it. So Google is effectively going to be looking at everything, looking at everybody's web activity. And
this is pretty annoying, huh? All this can go away. You bought a paywall at rightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use crypto, e-checks, mail in a money order, or even use your credit card on Sven's Odyssey channel. The link will be below in the show notes. That's the rightstuff.biz/paywall.
And the trick is, it's like, there's like, well, we just implemented a standard. And it's like, right, but you implemented a standard, and then you had all these publishers use it, and so through some like process of indirect,
it's like what Apple and Spotify are doing.
Like you're like, look, I'm the uninvolved third party. Yeah. I'm just checking. And it's like, yeah, but
it's like
you're checking
on
everybody because all the website publishers are asking you to do it.
It's like people misunderstood what I was saying about Atmos. It's a standard that's being established by Apple and Spotify, and people fell for the misdirection. Even though after I thought I explained it, it was like, it's not about establishing a standard for surround sound. No one cares about that. Surround sound has been failing since quadraphonic sound in the 1970s. People just don't really care. People don't mind what they're smuggling in with the Atmos standard is a new stereo standard, which is the Atmos fold down. And this is going to lock people out of being able to publish music in the places where people are going to listen to music. And that's what they're doing to get control back to major record labels.
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of thing. It's like, this company is establishing the standard and it's lying about what the purpose is for.
So, right.
And you could go ahead. You don't have to.
If this is a problem that doesn't exist.
You don't have to do the standard. If you don't go by the standard, well, I mean, you know, all your stuff's not going to work anymore. But you just don't have to. We're just, you know, it's not a standard. It's just a private, you know. You just came up
this
with
is
this.
A problem that doesn't exist, in my opinion. So,
of course, it doesn't exist.
So listen to this. So Weisner, is it Weiser or Weisner? Before you start doing this, websites, maybe get editors. Because this guy's last name is spelled differently in different places in this article.
Yeah, I saw a typo in a Daily Mail article this morning.
Dude, they're everywhere. I'm seeing them everywhere.
All over the place.
Not just in Eric Stryker's articles. Everywhere. I'm joking.
Wait a minute. So Eric Stryker will be the new standard.
Yeah, he actually be like...
They'll be wishing they could write with less errors.
Yeah. In fact, Weiser suggests privacy improvements are what prompted WEI. So we're looking out for you, right? Privacy features, now here we go. Privacy features like
user... Well, wait a second. Have you ever known a corporation to just do something for your own personal good?
Oh, they take care of
safety?
Me all the time.
You know what? I'll say one thing.
They're there
a lot
for
of
me.
The early... a lot of the internet companies that got their foot in the door first, in fact, like Google, used to do that. But now that they have all power, they don't. Then now it's like, no. I mean, their slogan used to be "Don't do evil," which everyone should have immediately taken as like a red flag, right? But they actually, it actually used to be Google. Actually, used to be good. And even though it was run by Jews, even back in the day when like the ADL tried to shut all kinds of shit down, they used to tell them no. Like in the early 2000s, they would tell them like no. Now they just work directly with them to shut everything down. And they also like, we're just going to make it so our search feature is so shitty, you can't find anything that's not on a major website.
Yeah, there's a book on surveillance capitalism that talks about early Google and how that lasted for about 5 minutes. And then they were like, we need to make money. We got to make money. All right,
it's not just making money, though. It's like we have to like be powerful. Like a lot of times, one of my criticisms of books like that, which is probably a good book, is they tend to reduce everything to simply, in the capitalist world, they reduce things to profit, capitalist profit motive. When I think for Google, there's much more involved. Like it's also just like Jews running the world.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But privacy improvements are what prompted privacy features like user agent reduction, IP reduction. Those like spoofing your. You can do this. Pretend you're using a different browser. Pretend, like spoof your IP address different ways. Preventing cross-site storage, and browsers are supposed to do that automatically. If you now have to do that yourself, like I don't know how the standards have changed. And fingerprint randomization, make it more difficult to distinguish or re-identify individual clients, which is great for privacy, but makes fighting fraud more difficult. The result, he argues, well, let me finish this, is that websites designed to fight fraud have responded by increasing their uses. This is why it's a problem that doesn't exist. Increasing their uses of sign-in gates, fingerprinting techniques, and intrusive challenges like CAPTCHAs and SMS verification. Right. That's just security.
Yeah.
You're going to have to live with it. If there's a site that has a product you want and it requires those things, you will live with it to get the product, and that's fine. You have to sign into TRS.
I think the fraud could be
I don't want a different solution.
It could be that. The fraud could be something like I'm VPNing through India to get Netflix for 50 cents a month.
Something like that. That's exactly. Fraud. Or just it's also there are certain countries where certain content's literally illegal to access. So you can VPN, pretend you're in another country and access it. I would also just say like this isn't a problem. Like if you're selling content on the internet like we are and you protect it behind a sign-in gate or a paywall, I don't need this shit. This that we already have the protection we want for our content.
We already have the WF on our side.
Like I don't like no, but I'm saying it's perfectly valid to hide your content behind a paywall.
Right.
But that's the solution. Like that's I don't need it. We don't need some way to make the life of the TRS user easier. Just sign in, nigger.
How hard actually, is that's it? Actually contrary to our mission.
People, yeah, no, we actually want to make your life harder. But the thing is, it's like, wait, you sign into your site to get the content. What's the wait? Why is this? Again, you're looking for a problem so you can like fingerprint everyone's fucking computer. Mm-hmm. Fuck you.
What would really solve the problem is the advertisers themselves prevent them from being able to tell if your ad's played or not, and they just pay you anyway.
Just stop advertising on the web.
There's that too.
Just stop internet advertising.
Stop thinking that you can subsidize the internet with fucking advertising because you can't.
Yeah, advertising isn't a revenue model that works. That's possibly what a lot of this is behind.
That's really what it is. It's fucking give up on it.
Advertising
already,
is not a revenue model that works on the internet. You need to find another one. Now, a subscription for content that people actually want is.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how much you want to scale that. In our case, we don't have to scale it.
In that case, it should be free. Because they leave out, they don't understand the cost of having to view ads is like what makes it not free,
right? And in fact, that's why like I think also less and less of the internet is free anymore.
Yeah,
like I know that it is true. Like I am
every news site has some kind of paywall.
Every single news website has 3 free articles a month.
Yeah, and you know who doesn't? RealRawNews.com.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
That's where I learned the other day. I learned on Real Raw News that Eric Holder was hung at Guantanamo Bay.
Oh yeah, yeah. Good to know.
Now, he was executed.
I don't know if you could support even one person on a purely ad-based revenue model for a website. Maybe you could if you had a lot of visitors.
You would have a ton of visitors.
And they looked. The problem is, like, I remember Judge used to do this bit where he would be like, he'd have millions and millions of visitors every day. And he had one banner ad on the Judge Report. But nobody. I mean, if you're looking at ads on the internet, you're frankly, you're a fool. Generally speaking. Like, and they actually.
Didn't even know he had a banner ad. I've never seen it.
That was his thing. And he used to say, like, yeah, since I'm getting like 100 million visits a day, which he probably doesn't get that anymore either, because who goes to the Drudge Report? Because every link goes to a paywalled site now.
Yeah.
But, like, he used to even say this, like, yeah, that one ad, that's enough for me to make all my money and whatever. But I don't even know if that's true anymore, if he does that anymore or what. But, yeah. So, I don't know. Like, advertising is, like, posting, like, articles and having, like, ads with them, like, that's just not going to work. It's not going to work. Because nobody wants to see that shit. And I guess it's sort of different than advertising in, like, a print publication, like in the New York Times, the paper, with you thumbing through it, and then you see, like, a big one-page ad. You'd actually, like, look at that. But you're not going to, like, on a website, it's just an annoyance.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. There's some reason why an advertisement in a magazine or newspaper isn't as bothersome as one on an internet website, but I think it's because you're actively looking for something on the internet, and you're not just sort of, thumbing through that, or I can ignore that page, or I can look at it. I don't know. It's just less intrusive.
But, yeah, well, that goes into, like, browsing patterns, right? Because there's, like, two styles, or there used to be two styles of how people interact with the internet. There's people who are looking to get to a specific destination, and then there's some people who are just kind of, like, idly looking around, not really paying a lot of attention to a specific thing. But I think that latter category is probably largely gone at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like, you're looking for, you're browsing around in a very specific subset of content, usually self-curated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
Yeah, I think most people, it's like, I'm just trying to get from point A to point B. That's all I want to do is I want to go to my site and look at the thing.
But people do go to, like, sites like Twitter or Facebook and just spend hours
on just looking around,
just looking at stuff.
Yeah, but every time. Oh, hi, guys. Here's another pre-recorded interruption, not an actual interruption. I'm just here to remind you, we need you to go ahead and pick up a subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use money orders, you can use crypto, you can use e-checks, you can even go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can use your credit card on there to get around the Jews' banishment of our banking services. That works. So you can do that until you can't. I don't know. But thanks. We'll be right back to the show now. Every time you see an ad, it's
annoying.
It's the worst thing in the world. Like, yeah. It doesn't happen anymore, but if I scroll through the Twitter feed and I see a promoted tweet or a tweet from a brand, like, I'm not fucking here for that. Fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what you got to do to make this, but, like, it's just not, I'm not going to do that.
Well, that's why they're, like, you know, Elon Musk is doing this subscription pattern.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing now. Like, well, there's no ads anymore.
About how it's going to die because of the revenue model and the model that he's implementing.
Well, the model,
like, you don't know that.
The model before he took over was basically unusable. Like, every third tweet was a tweet from a brand. It was something I wasn't looking for.
Brave would block those too. At least for me.
When was the you didn't look at Twitter?
I haven't looked at it in years.
Brave did not block promoted tweets. They just come up as tweets. They have a promoted thing. They were not blocking ads. Twitter ads were just like, they were just there. And it was just like, you would scroll and, like, If I came on here, this would be an ad right here. This would be a promoted tweet. I'd have these two, and then there'd be an ad like here, and then there'd be an ad here. It was
that definitely
horrible.
Got worse over time, though.
Yeah, and if I click on the trending, now it's called What's Happening. Like, if I clicked on that, like, there would be a giant banner ad for. Oh, there's still a banner ad here. Okay, there's an ad. Talk to me now, playing everywhere.
Yeah,
talk to you. It's a bunch of niggers.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Like, this is what's so bad about advertising. Like, advertising is like our opportunity to put niggers in front of you everywhere.
Yeah,
there's this Coke ad on the Amazon Fire Stick. If you just turn it on and leave it, it goes to screensaver mode. Like, these, it's like the three most off-putting, like, caramel-colored niggers you've ever seen, just, like, having a great time holding a bottle of Coke. Like, they're like having a movie night in, like, a really nice, like, living room, and I'm just like, this doesn't make me want to do anything you want me to do, seeing these people.
Yeah.
I hate these people. I hate Coke. I hate you for putting this on my screen. Like, but this isn't helping. Or if I go on Amazon itself to, like, look for shit,
like these, the like the Dusky Mulatto people modeling clothes. It's like, I don't want to buy that anymore. Like, none of this makes me, like, I know it's probably supposed to make me feel terrible. Like, oh, it must make me feel my white fragility, like I'm losing my whole clutch, but it's like,
I don't know.
I hate it. And everyone, I think everyone hates it.
Everybody hates internet advertising, but, like, again, you know, it's funny. It's like everyone hates niggers. Everyone says they hate it, but they don't really. And this is the thing. It's like, everyone says they hate the news media, but then they have, like, their, except for us, they have, like, their favorite news media. I hate the news media except for Tucker Carlson. Or I hate the news media except for Rachel Maddow or whatever. Like, we just hate all of it, right? Because there isn't anything for us. So, like, most people, like, just, they're like, I hate this thing. Everyone says they hate it. Like, everyone hates big companies except for the ones you like. Everyone hates, you know.
Somebody sent me Jimmy Dore content the other day. I actually liked it. I actually was like, oh my God, that's actually somewhat thoughtful. And I listened to it for a few minutes, and he didn't ruin it. I don't remember what it was, but I was like, holy shit, this guy's actually
capable of probably doing some good takes occasionally. But yeah, no, I mean, it's not even just like be a curmudgeon, hate everything. It's what it really is that I look at the internet now, and it's just nothing but regrets. Like it's just like an empty. It's like I couldn't even find
this
one kind of funny song from several years ago, just 3-minute funny little ditty.
Or the amount of times I click on a news headline. There's been a lot of times where I click on a news headline and the page it takes me to, there's no text. It's a video. It's like, I don't want to watch it. Like, I want to read what this content is. Like, I can get the information out of this content faster than a video can. And I don't want to watch a news presentation. And it's just not there. It's another extension of cable TV, especially with news stuff. I mean, this fucking ad is video.
Well, that's what the internet is now, just so you understand. Like, the internet is,
they've destroyed it,
cable TV again. And this was a deliberate project of Jews. And now that they've effectively done it, they're going to introduce this whatever fingerprinting standard. I don't know. Maybe it'll be this. Maybe it'll be something else. Maybe there'll be backlash against this. But it doesn't seem like any of these standards-making bodies or Electronic Freedom Foundation or any of these groups, watchdog groups, or any of this stuff has actually prevented what's actually happened with the internet, which is that it has been completely centralized and consolidated. And this WEI, and the other thing is, it's almost like one thing I would love to ask of Jews is, like, by the time you can implement something like this, it kind of doesn't even really matter if you do or not, because you've already got full control of everything. I mean, back in the day, if they tried to implement something like this, there would simply be a revolt by creators and people that were interested ideologically in free speech on the internet, and people that were actual developers and programmers.
Well, that's why at the time Google was on their side. It took a while to establish the rep.
That's what they always do. It. Mm-hmm. Google established the rep of being good guys, and now that's long gone. That's been gone for like 10 years. But I remember when they still had it, and
it took a while to get from like making fun of the SJWs with their gender studies degrees to gender studies degree holders being in charge of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good job, conservatives.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. That was the main thing that people did in the aughts and the early tens is making fun of the gender studies degree. It's like, what are you going to do with the gender? Well, I'm going to make your life hell.
I'm going to rule the world.
Yeah, I'm going to help rule the world
and like make sure that like.
And I'm going to take a non-functional position at an organization. I'm going to take effectively a position as a political watchdog and make sure that those of you that made fun of my gender studies degree simply don't get to express yourselves or use the internet.
You just don't have access to society anymore. Right. It's like, basically, if you don't respect the gender studies degree, you are now just an invalid person.
I also think that the internet and everybody using it and like kind of exposing themselves on it is also where like unpersoning comes from. Like, because back in the day, you know, before internet and before the way it functions, like unpersoning somebody by like getting rid of their job, their bank account, or whatever service you could deny them would just not be done. Like, do you think
it would
William
be
Pierce
difficult too?
Like, yeah, and it's also like, how would they do it? Like, So I'm like, was William Pierce, like, did he have, like, bank accounts canceled on him? I doubt it. I doubt he ever had to deal with that. I doubt he ever had to deal with that. You know? And I'm sure he was able to sell his materials, or you could just write, people would, you know, write checks and send them through the mail. I'm not trying to be a Luddite on this, but I'm saying, like, lots of stuff, the internet changed a lot of things. Like, I really think this, the digital unpersoning of people, but then it goes beyond the removal of their ability to use a website, and it's literally like, oh, you can't use, like, any electronic services. You can't use banking now, right? Like, you can't use basic transactions. And, of course, there's no law that protects that. Like, there is a telecommunications
act. No, because they say that they're preventing fraud and abuse, just like that article did. Fraud and abuse is like a, it's like the financial institutions are a watchdog, and they can say, the last time I lost access to banking, there was unexpected activity on the account, is what I was told.
Right.
And I went and looked at the account activity. It was like, everything, I expected all this. What are you saying? Oh, we can't say. Oh.
Right.
Oh, you can't. Now you're doing the can't say. Okay. Why didn't you say it in the first place?
And the thing is, like, why isn't there a law that says you have to have access to all banking services so that they can do it? So they can do it, right?
There was yesterday when I was getting ready to prep for Just Jesse, I was looking up propertarianism. I was trying to find some info on that, and I stumbled across the Anti-Defamation League's propertarianism movement. And listen to this little, like,
that's another example.
Listen to this little admission in here. Okay, listen carefully. The propertarian movement is a racist, anti-Semitic, anti-immigrant, and misogynist group that wants to create a movement based on the philosophy of Kurt Doolittle, an American entrepreneur who has residence in both the U.S. and Europe. Ukraine, I believe.
Ukraine, yeah.
Some of its ideology is based on extreme versions of libertarianism. For example, government decentralization, abolishment of taxes, free banking, etc. Like, just that feels like a slip up to me. Like, here's the preeminent, biggest Jewish group in the world. Just letting it slip. Like, yeah, free banking is something we really like. If you want that, like, we're gonna try to digitally unperson everyone involved. Free banking, like, you could have left that off. Like, free banking is what that raises the alarms there.
Because I think there's a lot of people that are behind. Like, if
free banking is completely anathema. Like, you can't have free banking.
I think if
what that's what we're that's what we do here.
If our proposals on this stuff were to be put before the public in good faith, I think most.
Hey everybody, Jordan Peterson here. I wrote a book about 12 rules for how to live your life, and I have a 13th rule for you. Subscribe to TRS. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your needs.
Most of them be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, how about you're not allowed to close anybody's account?
You're literally not allowed to deny somebody services. You're just not.
Or how about there's one?
I mean,
bank.
The thing is, they don't actually do it for criminals. Criminals get to have bank accounts all the time. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Yes,
I think the last thing I applied for, I think I was just on the grounds of, like, they couldn't verify that it wasn't a money laundering
scheme. I would actually say you can't close anybody's account without a fucking court order. And if that's a criminal, then the government will order you to do it. It's not up to you. You don't make any decisions like that. You just provide the service. That's it. You don't make any decisions on closing accounts. You don't get to close anybody's account. If someone's a criminal, the government gets a court order. You don't get to make that choice. Like, they will do it. And if you're not a criminal, they don't get to order that. And people, you're going to let the government? Yeah. Yes. Because either way, someone else other than you is making the decision.
The government just has to be us.
The idea, yeah. Well, that too. But this idea also that, like, the government he's like a worse decision maker than, like, a bank. It's like, fuck right.
Well,
the
government's
off with
that
bad. Shit.
Well, they're both Jews, so it's kind of a toss up.
Yeah, I
you
get
have to
it.
Get
but
them out of it. That's one of the roadblocks that
these people have.
Like,
that's
no,
kind of my point.
A government can't be good because I can't imagine. I've never lived under a government that's not Jewish run against my wishes, so I can't conceive of.
But that's kind
what
of
if
my,
you got rid
but,
of
but
them.
Then it's like, but I've never lived under a banking system that's not Jewish.
Right.
So,
exactly.
But the thing is, it's like, I want these people to get that out of their head, though, that, like, there's some virtue to a decision-making structure that isn't the government. It's like, why? What, like some big corporation or bank? Like, fuck them, too. Like, Also, they don't see that. They don't see that dichotomy. They work hand in glove with the government.
As often as a libertarian will talk about like regulatory capture, they can't get. They can't move.
They can't explain how you avoid it.
They can't wrap up the idea that like these. They work. They collude, and it's Jewish collusion to make sure certain people win and certain people lose, and it's not based on anything logical or competition based or market based. You think it is.
And like frankly,
like they've removed whenever they can, they remove market factors from what they're doing, and they just do it.
Right.
So, and it's a collusion, but it's not just corporate. It's not just government interest. And it's all Jewish.
Right. I mean, the government should come in and ensure market factors. Like they should break up Google.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Google should be broken up.
Well, Google at this point would have to be invaded by a foreign army.
I mean, they used to actually do that. Their installations. When's the last time there was an actual antitrust fucking case? Probably been like
Microsoft and Internet Exploder.
Right, which now like, that's like.
Pfft. So they give you Microsoft Edge instead?
No, I don't know. I don't know what I actually don't know what the end result of that was because everybody does that shit now.
I don't know. Like, did they just not give you a browser for a minute? If you got Windows? They give you Netscape too? Because it was Netscape made that lawsuit, right?
I don't remember what the resolution was, but I know that if you get a new computer, you get the Microsoft browser.
Yeah.
If you have Windows and you get Safari. Edge. If you buy an Apple, you just get Safari. That's what you get. And and Google shit comes all pre-installed on a new Android phone.
Nobody's antitrusting fucking the cell phone industry. You have basically two companies run that.
Yeah. And they work with... Yeah, I mean, look. What we actually have is, like, Democrats versus Republicans across the board and everything. It's like, they don't have... There's, like, duopolies everywhere. Like Apple and Google. There's, like, the tech it's like, duopoly.
It's a philosophy of government and market that was invented in the 50s.
Yeah. We just have two of everything.
We just have duop.
Yeah.
Shooby-doo-wop.
Yeah.
Shoo-bomb. Everybody get it? Should get it.
What would you call... we have duopoly and we have duop. Get this. Here's a new word. We have duopsony.
I forgot what duopsony means.
Yeah like look monopsony, but it's a duopsony. Yeah.
It's a duopsony. You only have
duopsony.
Two,
look at you
only have two
my
buyers. No, a monopoly is where you only have one seller. A monopsony is where you only have one buyer.
So, do you remember how we were talking about Clarkston City?
Yes.
We talked about Shawana.
Yes. Shawana
pay
the police anymore.
She want to talk to you.
And, yeah, that was good. We're watching the video and you see like the city council and it's like all black except for one white woman.
Yeah.
We got a little update. Check this out.
Oh, the white woman's gone? Let's take a look.
Oh, she's resigning?
She's gone.
This old white lady. All right. Sorry, I have to watch an ad first.
Yeah,
I don't want
we have an ad for something that none of us are interested in.
Premium wooden jigsaw puzzles.
No, I mean, I
wow, not, I mean, this is exactly.
Hell
this
yeah.
is why I'm here.
Those are cool.
I want to watch that.
I want
to
buy that.
Yeah, I'm gonna run out and get one of those right now.
You know, it's a good thing you have ads on this website to support your terrible audio. Well, this audio needs like a 400% boost to come through our podcast.
Clarkston boiled over as the city faces a major police shortage and an ongoing fight between the police chief and the city manager. We've told you the city will soon have only 9 police officers. That's just 43% of their usual force. Channel 2's Courtney Francisco live for us in Clarkston tonight.
How do they do this? They're like sitting around their calculator and like, how many officers are they supposed to have?
This channel has more like on the spot reporters than this town has cops.
I was going to say, every time I see a video from this network, it's a different reporter.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have more reporters than police officers.
We're going to boost this audio further.
And journalism is like an utterly useless profession.
And Courtney, things got so bad this evening. A city council member said she's done.
Yes, the meeting got so heated that city council member resigned and said, good luck, goodbye.
What is the point of that woman being there? Like, all right, anyway, let's stop.
You're right, like the anchor could just tell us those things.
Like, yeah, they don't need that person there.
Yeah, but they need her there so they can overlight her face and make her look like a raccoon.
Make her look really weird.
I like when she ends the sentence has to hold.
Yeah, and they don't, when they don't cut away fast enough from those shots, it's really fucking awkward. It's funny.
Opposition escalated to a city council member, Susan Hood, resigning in the middle of a town hall.
I have better things to do with my time.
The meeting was supposed to be a chance for citizens to express concerns with the dwindling number of police in Clarkston.
Well, then what? I could be doing wooden jigsaw puzzles.
What's her issue? Like, what does she have better things to do then? Like, what's she complaining? Like, you don't tell, like, this is the story that they're not telling you. Like, the story is not.
She probably said more than that.
The story's like the lady. Opportunity to have said, I'm done with you fucking niggers.
But for all we know, she did. For all we know, she did, and they're just not reporting it. That's kind of the problem. She said more than just that.
For all we know, she left.
She did a rant
For all we know, she left because of the racists demanding to be paid more as cops, and she's just like,
I doubt it.
You don't know what side she's on. They don't tell you. But I have no way of. It's a coin flip because they didn't tell us.
It's got a point.
It's a coin flip. They don't. Like, I would love to know, but like you have more.
Well, why is Bill Cosby resigning?
You have more because he raped that old lady. You have more. Which reminds me. Did you heard about that time, like Elton John and Michael Jackson were going to duet
before he
Don't Let Your Son Go Down on Me?
I've heard that joke before.
I keep forgetting to tell that joke to Cowboy. Now he's heard it. There you go, Cowboy. That was for you, buddy.
I'm scared, believe it or not, to go out on the street tonight.
Scared to go out on the street?
Police Chief Christine Hudson says a full police force would have 21 officers, but right now she has 12 and expects that to fall to 9 by mid-August.
I see a lot of bad government here, but this definitely takes the cake.
Some blame the city manager, Shawana Cowie, in part for denying officers a raise. She did not talk.
You're making us unsafe.
Others blame the police chief. A large sign left outside said Fire Chief Hudson, Chief City Clerk Dorothy Jackson, one of those.
The chief of police should be held accountable.
Wait a minute. The black woman wants the white woman fired, and then the other white woman also left.
It's just a shit show. Yeah.
The chief and city manager have been at odds publicly since the spring. When the city manager suspended the chief without pay for insubordination, the chief responded with an equal employment opportunity complaint claiming racism. The city manager then appointed John Pearson as director of police services, arguing she's not demoting.
Looks like Slick from the WWF.
The two are equal. Like, the chief's attorney spoke for her tonight.
March of this year, she asked for an 8.5% increase, salary increase for her officers. And then she.
Are these just like low level bureaucrats wrangling over what their paycheck
There's
is?
There's a
like?
Racial angle here. Let's not. That's part
of it. Sven, they're trying to wrangle, but there's a nigger in the system, so they're not allowed.
I can explain this. Well, first of all, let this guy finish. I know exactly what's going on.
Just talking about 8.3% pay.
He was written up and disciplined and suspended in April, and that's when the officers started telling her that they were looking elsewhere for other positions.
Census data shows more than 14,000.
It's exactly what I predicted on our last show. They were having trouble retaining.
Well, this is pretty annoying. You don't want to hear my voice. You want to hear Mike finish his thought, huh? But you can't, because you don't have a subscription. You should go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. Tag it.
Training officers.
Mm-hmm.
She said she would get them a raise. And
she was getting them a raise. Okay, I thought she was getting herself a raise.
No, the raise was for the... all right, she wanted an 8.5% raise for every cop on the mm-hmm. force. She couldn't get the city manager to agree to that. And the city manager
because the city manager was like, no, I am embezzling that money so I can buy a Mercedes.
Exactly. Because the city manager is a nigger who, one, has a grudge against the police because she's a nigger, and two, sees a better use of that money, meaning just going directly into her personal bank account, which I expect to see that at some point, well, maybe not, because they don't do anything anymore when people do these things. When black people do stuff, they're just allowed to do stuff. She's probably ripping the town off. I'm sure that, like, also this, she just sees the lack of those, 13 cops, 12 cops, that shortage of 12 cops as just, that's 12 salaries that I could have. Or that she could hire, her cousin.
Pearson.
Or something like that. And I guarantee you that she's laundering money with that nigger. She's probably paying him, that nigger's probably getting paid, like $500,000 a year. And is kicking back part of that to her, guaranteed. So that's what it is. So she refused to do a raise. The police chief complained. She then suspended the police chief without pay so she could steal her pay. And then the police chief went and filed the equal opportunity thing. And I will bet you that she also probably made racial comments about white cops. She probably also did that. So yeah. It's pretty clear what's going
on. It's just across the board, Nick, nigger corruption.
And, yes. And remember, all you can niggers do about it is in resign. Government office are corrupt 100% of the time. Just so you understand this. They are corrupt 100% of the time. Even if they actually sometimes occasionally carry out the function of their job, they're corrupt 100% of the time. In Philadelphia, we've always brought this case up. The Pennsylvania State Attorney General did an investigation into corruption at Philadelphia City Hall. And every single Philadelphia City Council person that was implicated in the corruption scandal was black. So they had to drop the investigation. And the attorney general was replaced because she was accused of being a racist. Because every single city council person that they found doing corruption, they just didn't find any white people. They would have been happy to charge white people. They just didn't find any.
So just more things like questions unanswered by this reporting team. How many city council members are there? What's the split on partisanship? Who are loyal to Shawana? Who is not? Well, they're all niggers except for the one lady. So is she the lone voice that was? Now is there no one in the city government to fight this woman?
Yeah,
like the white lady resigned. I have better things to do. Does that leave behind nothing but loyalists, or is she just one?
It's nothing but blacks.
Right, but they showed us a black who was speaking against Shawana. So there's actually
well,
is
was,
a little bit
he,
of...
What he was saying is he wants more cops. That's what that Bill Cosby-looking nigger was just saying, I don't feel safe.
No, the lady they showed.
No, that woman was speaking in favor of her. That black woman was speaking in favor of
her. I can't look at it again. There's an ad again.
Yeah, no. Because they said...
How come I can't stop these ads? See, what is Yahoo News doing?
You need to pay closer attention. Because, like... I don't know. That woman was complaining about the police chief because the news report showed a car that had a sign that looked like it was printed.
Yeah, I saw the sign. Yeah,
this is like fire, and then it cut to her speaking, and she was complaining about the police chief.
Yeah, because she's black.
She's part
of the black team.
She's black, and that old nigger was just probably like a retired old nigger. He's not involved in city council. He just doesn't want to get like jacked when he leaves his house. So he's like, "Can we have more white officers, please?" So little Pookie and Ray Ray don't jack me up when I leave my house.
You have hit peak Negro, and now that particular city is going to turn into Rwanda.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Try that in Rwanda. Try that in Clarkson, Georgia. Literally try that in a small town.
Yeah.
Make the city council black, embezzle the entire budget, and fire all the cops. Try that in a small town.
I had another
Oh, that was that
story
lady's car.
Too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the story from Wednesday that got an update, but we had one from Monday.
Utterly fucking useless. Utterly useless. Worse than useless.
What, the site?
The internet. He finally found the point in the video. He clicked play and returned him to the Yahoo homepage. It's completely fucking useless. God.
Oh, man.
There's that Nordstrom.
Can we have, like, WEI that just makes the internet work? Can Google do something that just makes web pages work properly, please? Not all this dumb shit.
Here's
an idea,
bad.
Google. Make a thing so that when I go to a news website to read an article, the video that plays is also related to the same story.
How about I show you this right here? So here's Yahoo News. Okay. They have this trending with an X next to it. I don't want to see the trending.
Wow, that city councilwoman is really attractive.
Yeah, that's the Nordstrom ad. But anyway, so here's the trending. It's like... I don't want to look at the trending sidebar. I click the X to make it go away.
Yeah.
Now I'm on this page.
Right.
I'm literally like, I'm at the trending now. These are the top stories. Like, but I clicked the X.
Yeah, see.
This is the opposite of what I was expecting.
That's like extremely bad design. I
Nordstrom.
I will explain the thought process behind why that's there, and it's really dumb. The idea of it is to make it like news website. This is something they started doing like,
the idea is to trick me into getting to their home page, but it's like,
but, well, the idea is so it's like you're opening a book and you're leafing through it.
Yeah, but this is an X.
And then yes, I know. So when you close it, I don't want it. You see the cover of the book again. It's really stupid. The X is not. See,
that is actually really stupid.
You're associating the X with the menu. Thing it's next to. That's logical.
I want that entire like
they're associating
column
it
to
with
just
the,
disappear.
They're associating it with a layer on which stories are presented. It's retarded.
I understand, because
I've worked in this field before, and I started being presented with user interfaces like this, and that's right around the time when I got fired.
The idea that's by design and not just some code fuck up, it just makes me feel even worse. I just figured they just
The thing is, like, I understand the internal logic he's talking about, and it's retarded.
Now I do, and I'm so much madder about it than I was.
I just thought it was an error.
I just thought it was something they didn't know what they were doing.
No.
I thought it was clickbait, like with make you think you're closing, but actually we're taking you to more of our content, and you'll see it. Be like, oh, fuck, it didn't close. Well, I guess I'll just open
the other
that
thing
and read
that
it
happens
and give them more
in
time.
In this era of news websites, is that you would do a thing like on this keypad.
I've got to get more coffee
on this computer, on this laptop in front of me. There's a touchpad, right? And you use your finger to move the mouse around, but if you have two fingers, you swipe stuff back and forth. You could accidentally just like swipe off the article because they want you to do like swiping from it's really dumb. It's so stupid. I remember when all these kinds of innovations were being done, and it's just like, how about you just have a site where you have links that you click with headlines, and then they go to the page where the story associated with the headline and pictures, and you can read it and look at pictures, or maybe a video that's also associated with that headline. Rather than something completely different.
I can understand the internal logic, but this is like what happens whenever you've got a little group of people who have been inside their own little zone for too long.
This is what happens when you have user interface designers that constantly have to innovate every few years for job security. Because frankly, there's nothing wrong. And I'm not even one of these. I'm not even like a Luddite or a guy who's like always like return to tradition. I'm like, no, but when you found something that works, like there's no, at some point, there's no need to change it. Like the New York Times looked the same for 100 years. Right? It still looks the same. The print edition looks exact. I guess they've added color pictures at some point in the 90s. They started putting color pictures on the front page, and that was a big deal. Whatever. It's still basically the same fucking thing. It's a bunch of pieces of paper folded. You open it up and you read it. Like a book. It's the same way it's been fundamentally. Maybe they have like different glue to bind it or some, but whatever. But like with this, it's like, no, a website, it's like it's not hard. And it's always been the logo is in the upper left, and you click that to go back to the homepage. I don't want anything else. Anyway.
Yeah, it's like a car. It's like I want the instruments in my car to be laid out from the same from car to car. I don't want to get in a vehicle and find that they've decided to put the gear stick somewhere in the passenger seat somewhere. Like, no, that doesn't help me.
Yeah, and like the whole user interface design field, like that could be a valuable field. But the problem is the number of user interfaces that you need to do design newly is very limited. Like there's only it's actually, you should just go back.
Hey, it's your worst possible nightmare. It's the sound of Borzoi interrupting whatever wonderful talking point Mike is making right now, interrupting your own train of thought. And you're in this position, listening to me right now, well, because you're listening to the free version of this show. You're not even getting all the content, and now you have to listen to me. Is this what you want? Is it really? You want to hear this? You want to hear me? That just can't possibly be what you want. So if you want to rectify that issue, go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can make one-time donations and get 3 months, 6 months, even a year. So why are you doing this to yourself? This has to be especially troubling because I'm not even going to check the audio on how this sounds. So you could also be listening to just terrible audio right now. So why not just stop doing this to yourself and get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall.
Very basic input elements and have them work properly. And layers are what fuck all this shit up, but whatever.
I had another story update because Monday we had watched a video of something from a DeSantis staffer involving a black son.
Yes.
And the DeSantis campaign was like, that's not the kind of black son we were talking about.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, it's a different type of black
son. Post your wife's black son, not a black son.
And so is this the thing that reveals who it was that made that video?
Yeah, yeah, and he's gone.
Yeah.
He's out.
So that was Nate Hockman, right?
Yep, Nate Hockman, and he was, I think he also writes for National Hebrew, and he is out.
He did
this week. Hockman was fired from Ron DeSantis' presidential campaign after retweeting a video. Oh, he didn't make the video? He retweeted it? That superimposed a Nazi symbol over DeSantis' face. A person familiar with the incident told Axios that Hockman made the video himself. Oh, okay. Hockman's traffic in Nazi memes defied his 2021. I'm not reading that.
Yeah. Well,
but I thought it was really funny because of how fast it happened. Like, I read the headline, like, wait, didn't we just talk about this?
So I actually wanted to talk about, what did they say about this? His 2021, what? It says something about 2021. Defied his 2021.
I stopped reading for a reason.
Okay, I understand that. Now, here's what I think that was referring to. There is this article from the New Republic. We can deal with this later. Called The Radical Young Intellectuals Who Want to Take Over the American Right. It says they hate the establishment. They want to destroy the system. Meet the illiberal upstarts trying to remake conservatism. This is from this New Republic, December 2nd, 2021. And Nate Hockman is he's one of the main sources for the article. He's somebody that the article is by somebody named Sam Adler Bell, who I'm guessing is at least half Jewish. I'm half Jewish. And is talking to, among others, Nate Hockman about the state of the American right, and particularly younger right-wingers. One of the things that's mentioned in this article is how, when it comes to young educated people, and the heavy implication, this is white people, right? Young educated white people that are into politics. He said they lean so heavily left, and their views are further to the left than even like middle-aged or boomer liberals. And this bias is so heavy that, you know, all these people are going into politics, they're going to the Democrat Party, and they're adjusting things, and things are going off the rails to the left. And Nate Hockman's point is, but on the right, while there's fewer, those young political intellectuals who are not liberals, he says, are really very weird people. And by that he means they're part of this essentially like, they're like neo-reactionaries, right? They're like, he talks about Moldbug, he talks about BAP. Of course, the ubiquitous two things that are always brought up in these dumb articles. And what's funny to me is that, like, I had a whole thing on, after reading this article, I had a whole other thought process. How it's funny, how it's like,
okay,
you know, okay, go ahead.
Hockman didn't go to great lengths to hide his affiliation with the Mussolini-hyping Twitter account. He repeatedly retweeted its videos. And even before Axios named Hockman as the video's creator, social media users speculated that he was behind the clips due to the video's EDM soundtracks. Hockman was a longtime poster on a forum about dubstep, where he shared his own efforts at making electronic music, as well as his accounts of taking drugs and masturbating on an airplane.
Yeah, so he's Jewish.
So he's Jewish.
I'm half Jewish. But
with 1 foot in respectable politics and another in fortune... 4chan, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I realize that my on purpose.
Fortune.
More fortune. Just sounds like it's like fortune magazine.
Now, as a normal person, when you tell me that somebody was masturbating on an airplane and then they also tell me they did a video with the Sonnenrad, I think the masturbating on the airplane is a lot weirder.
Yeah. Well the Sonnenrad as a Jew is.
Wait, is he masturbating on an airplane while on drugs?
I don't know. I feel like there's enough relevant information. You're masturbating on an airplane.
Yeah,
I don't think we need to discuss much else.
Right. I know to that the makes elite more consensus, sense like the Sonnenrad's the big deal, but people who are not part of that weird fucking circle, they're like, wait, masturbating on an airplane? What?
Hockman is the latest prominent Gen Z conservative to reveal far-right tendencies beyond those openly espoused by the mainstream GOP, which they don't espouse far-right. Shit on with the GOP, so...
Yeah, we could even, this New Republic article, I don't want to read the whole thing because it's long, but, you know, we could go through some of this. How much time do we
have? Yeah, just go ahead. We can probably go another 15 minutes.
So, it says, conservatism in 2021 means radicalism, announced Nate Hockman, a 23-year-old writer at National Review. Describing the posture of his political milieu, Hochman spoke with urgency and without pretense, less eager to impress than to be understood. We have to think of ourselves as counter-revolutionaries or restorationists who are overthrowing the regime. He doesn't mean by violence, necessarily, but there's not a lot left to conserve in the contemporary state of things. There are things that need to be destroyed and rebuilt.
Yeah.
If you're scandalized by the language of counter-revolution or surprised to hear a conservative talk about destroying things and overthrowing regimes, you probably haven't spent much time around right-wing college grads of late, which makes sense. As a matter of demography, they're exceedingly hard to find. Young, highly educated people as a group are now overwhelmingly democratic to an extent that's literally never been seen before, probably ever in history, explained David Shore. Okay, so it was David Shore that was saying this. David Shore is another Jew and libtard. David Shore, the progressive pollster and statistician and Jew, and Nate Hochman is also a Jew. The well-known liberal biases of millennials have held for Generation Z, and education polarization continues apace. We've become accustomed to thinking about the distorting effects these factors have on democratic campaigns and NGOs, which are dominated by young activists with beliefs well to the left of the median Democrat. But the same forces are shaping the right's leading lights. Given the high statistical likelihood that a young person who went to college is a Democrat, those college grads who are not liberal, the hard-headed holdouts who buck the trend, tend to be, as Shore put it, really very weird. And because the right is not exempt from the iron laws governing left-wing nonprofits, highly educated elites tend to run Republican institutions, too. Hochman, who graduated from Colorado College earlier this year, may be a statistical unicorn, but young people who share his attitudes are common on the mastheads of conservative magazines as well as among conservative activists. Basically, what they're saying is, and I guess Hochman is part of this, and he was sort of like trying to be more of like a Reaganist type, at least if I'm reading this correctly, maybe I'm not. He was sort of had one foot in each camp, in the older conservative camp and this camp, at least that's how he presented. But it seems like now he really was in this sort of like new right camp. Now he's Jewish, and so it's all irony, it's all jokes, it's a joke. When Jews do this kind of stuff, they're doing it for a joke. And
I'm reading another related story. It's Jezebel's covering of his firing, and I'm just wondering, like, is this just like the Jewish like hands don't know what the other one's doing? Like, because it seems like this is an op. If you've got a Jew saying this to conservatives, and then you've got a Jew tweeting white nationalist symbols to other like online Twitter accounts.
Oh, I'll tell you this.
Like, there's something going. Like, you're trying to fool somebody. You're trying to gin up meme energy for Ron DeSantis' campaign through this young online. It's
right. Like, right. Well, this is actually what I was building.
And then it's like you fire him. It's like, wait a second.
Well, I'll tell you this. So, okay.
Yeah.
The left side of the spectrum absolutely does not know about what they're doing on the right. Maybe some Jews do, but generally speaking, they don't. And they need to pretend like they don't no matter what, because they need to keep up the kayfabe. There are probably Jews, I don't know where.
I even mean within Republican politics. It's like, listen, if you want a chance in hell, I mean, the shot is to try to harness this kind of like doom energy. And don't fire a Jew for doing it. Like, isn't this what he was here for?
Well, he got caught.
He got caught, I guess, but it's like you're supposed to not. Cause
well, this is also kind of what I wanted to. Kind of another point.
Look
I
at how
make.
Look at so, how Jezebel.
No, I understand
how they say it is like the DeSantis campaign is imploding, and even though the candidate himself is out here doing things like defending a curriculum that teaches that enslaved people benefit from slavery, his aides seem to have realized that it's unwise to keep a Nazi sympathizer, or at least think.
Yeah, they don't. They don't know the op.
So yeah, it's like, this guy's a Jew. He's not.
This who wrote this article?
Jezebel, Susan Rinkunis?
Well, that could be a Jew, it could be not. It doesn't matter. My point is, leftists, like people that write for Jezebel, legitimately don't understand and are outraged by the kind of strategy that conservatives are doing, right?
Yeah.
Now, I think what this article says, though, is interesting, which is that, first of all,
you don't like interruptions. Well, this is a different kind of an interruption. This is a pre-recorded interruption to remind you that you wouldn't be hearing this interruption if you would actually pony up, support our work here at TRS, and buy a subscription to the show. It's only $10 a month, unless you're using, like, e-checks. Then there's some extra fees, because the e-checks fucking suck. Don't use those. The point is, we need your support. you can't use credit cards anymore. It's kind of a pain in the balls, but we still need you to help us out. And if you're enjoying the content, these silly commercials will go away. We won't bother you anymore if you just do. So go to therightstuff.biz/paywall, make an order. You can use Z-checks. You can mail in a money order. You can use a bunch of different cryptocurrencies, all which suck and are annoying, but we'll get it figured out. Or you can go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can give me a donation there and send me a screenshot of the transaction. We'll get you figured out. So, yeah. I guess any second now we'll go back to the show. I don't know when, because I don't want these to be quick and predictable so that you can't just skip through them to make them go away. So this one's going to be a little extra long. But yeah, you need a subscription. You need a subscription.
Nobody that's young... Nobody that's young and right-wing is a traditional conservative.
Okay, yeah.
And if you're... But the other thing is, but then there's this other thing of highly educated. So Nate Hockman is highly educated, as are some of these other people that are in, like, the NRX movement, etc.
Mm-hmm.
The problem they have is... The problem they have is this, that they're farther, so seemingly further to the right than traditional conservatism. And they have some of these very different kinds of ideas,
mm-hmm.
like mold bug type ideas or like BAP type shit. The problem is it's fucking stupid. And when the Republican Party tries to harness this energy, like, they want to get some kind of... No one gives a shit about Reaganism and boomer conservatism anymore. No one cares anymore, except people that are going to be dead within the next two decades. And even they aren't all that committed to it. They're more like, they like Ronald Reagan because America was just better back then, and they think maybe he had something to do with it. I don't know. But
they don't like cocaine and real estate.
In order to get some kind of radical energy or intellectual energy in the right, they're bringing in people who are basically like nerds that read Mold Book. The problem is that shit is dumb. It's dumb, and it's off-putting to people. Mold it doesn't. It's actually that's the funny thing. Is like
Mold Book's seminal work is more than 10 years old.
Yeah, I understand, but you know that's not even my point. You're missing my.
Well, I'm saying they've missed the moment. The moment for this stuff already happened. It's over with. They're trying to rehash it.
If they're going to do something radical on the right that isn't anti-Semitic,
yeah.
They have to bring in these weird, stupid, like integralist nerds, like these people that are like mixing Catholicism with like monarchism, like basically people in the general neo-reactionary milieu.
Yeah,
it's because that way you can be radically on the right, inclusive of Jews, not anti-Semitic. But that stuff is like way more off-putting than our politics are. Right, like seriously, like mold buggy and like monarchist Catholicist.
Yeah.
Integralist formalism. All that shit is trash.
It already
it's all
happens,
garbage.
And it's already had like the Scooby-Doo moment where you pull the hood off of it.
But it's also
and it's just there
it's
to be Jewish. Like if you've lived through doing those politics in the Trump administration, and if you've paid attention at all your betrayals have been Jewish, have been from Jared, have been from Jared's
but here's
dad,
the funny
have been
thing.
From Israel. It's like
here's
everything
the other
he did
funny
was
thing.
Jewish.
Because those people, like Nate Hockman is doing that Son and Rad, Black Son, My Wife's Black Son ad, to bring some kind of radical energy to the DeSantis campaign. It's utterly fake.
Right.
What Nate Hockman really wants is like DeSantis to win so he can like do stuff for Israel.
Right.
Right? So the thing is, the other thing is, this is another thing these people don't get. Neo-reaction, paleoconservatism, monarchism. Maybe Trump had an appeal to like some kind of monarchist instinct or something like that. But generally,
Trump was
the direct, but even as he presented, though, the way he presented was nothing like what these people's ideology was. Because you remember, like, classic libertarians, like, actually ideological ones, they didn't like Trump. Like, remember Cantwell when he first came on board? He didn't like Trump.
He's doing tariffs and regulations.
He's telling people he gets to run the economy. Yeah. Right? So, like, Trump's actual populist pose was totally antithetical to even the stuff Moldbug was pushing. Like, Fnargle is different than Trump.
Fnargle.
Right? Fnargle the Terrible
Fnargle
is not
terrible.
Trump.
No.
So, like, but this sort of edgy, like, Jew-friendly, reactionary right-wing stuff, like, that's the only intellectual energy that conservatives can draw from because it's not exclusive to Jews. And those Jews that are in it are drawing on some symbols of fascism and stuff for internet edginess and meme energy, but they don't mean that. It's a joke for them. And the problem is, because it's a joke, it's seen as such.
Mm-hmm.
It's seen as such. Putting Ron DeSantis in an ad with Nazi symbols can't ever be anything but a fucking sick joke. A stupid joke. A retarded, like something that's just dumb and is brushed off as retarded. And because it's like it doesn't make any sense. And so it's sort of funny to me that the right has gotten itself in this position. Like, you need these younger intellectuals for some kind of intellectual energy, but their ideas suck. And it's not why Donald Trump won. The other funny thing is, they're saying, like, that demography, in terms of demography, all these educated political people, highly educated college grads, are overwhelmingly Democratic. Mm-hmm. But Trump loves the poorly educated. Trump didn't win based on the ideas of highly educated right-wing college grads. Trump didn't win because here's the thing. Their ideas are really unpopular. If you were to actually run on that, and of course they're also fundamentally antithetical to the idea of elections and democracy at all. They're like monarchists or Catholic integralists or some stupid shit like that. If you were to run on that, you would lose, like, you would lose everything. You would lose like 199-1. You would get blown the fuck out.
We're talking about like 4 dozen people.
So, yeah, you're talking about like a few people. So Trump himself didn't run on that shit.
Yeah.
Trump ran on something much closer to like a fascist-type platform where he was talking about economic controls, bringing corporations to heel using the power of the state, cutting off immigration. Like, he was talking about like a strong executive doing something for the little people. That's much closer to a democratic fascist model. I'm not saying Trump's a real fascist. I'm just explaining his appeal, right? This dumb, like, edgy intellectual right-wing crap is fucking dumb. And people also hate it. So it's funny because the right has themselves in a real pickle here. Because you can't have anything intellectual and interesting that is also anti-Semitic. As a result, what you're going to get is this. You're going to get this pile of shit. You're gonna have your fucking consultants and people doing videos for you on the internet and people working for your campaigns and young activists on the right, because they've made it through that filter of being like edgy, right wing, graduated from college, but also not wanting to exclude Jews. It's just gonna be a pile of trash, and all your campaigns are gonna bomb. All your, because what do these people fall back on ultimately? Catholicism, paleoconservatism. There's nothing there. People, that's not going to win ever, ever, ever. So
yeah, I was actually looking at some data on Zoomers, and one of the things seems to be some conversation about what really matters is going to be more economic, because I mean that's what you actually notice, right? As a person in America right now, is wow, inflation's awful. Oh, I can't buy a fucking
house.
There's
two fucking things that people in America are upset about right now. Inflation and crime.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. And edgy internet right-wingers don't have the answer to either one of them. I mean, they might. They're fundamentally ideologically opposed to it. You know, so it's like, I don't know. It's just funny to me that people like this are, it actually is true. These people are going to be the consultants and the campaign staffers of the Republican Party of the future. And therefore, it's going to get more toxic and more retarded. Our politics would be much more popular. Donald Trump's actual politics, the way he actually operates. I mean, this is the whole genesis of Ron DeSantis wanting to do COVID stuff. Right, these people, these extremely online nerds, thought it was a good idea, and his campaign is like self-destructing because of it. And then they try and do like Trump meme energy with stupid videos, and there's lots of videos that these people make that don't have like Nazi stuff. They're all fucking stupid.
I don't understand the end goal of like the infiltration of the DeSantis campaign by anybody. Like, what's the plan?
They're not infiltrating. They're not infiltrating. That's just who there is to hire. If you're looking to hire a Zoomer, like for to do campaign.
I think
consulting.
That's right. I think that's what your choice is. Like, well, yeah, you're no, there's no these people.
This is just who you have. Like, it's like now the infiltration is somebody like Nate Hockman saying, like, okay, like, yeah, I understand Trump meme energy. I can get that for your campaign, and like dumbasses being like, oh, okay, yeah, you're hired. Yeah, we need some. We need some DeSantis. We need some
that immediately
big, DeSantis
being exposed
big meme energy
and removed. Yeah. Like yeah. That's the infiltration. Like the second, well, the yeah. second you have you. He wasn't like he retweeted an account. It wasn't any part of the campaign, and they're like, "Oh, you got to go now."
Well, this is a problem that they're going to have, generally speaking,
always.
Because like it happened with Pedro, right? Like they bring in Pedro. Pedro's like, again, think. Look at this. Pedro is exactly what I'm talking about. He's a younger guy, educated, presumably. I'm assuming he's graduated some colleges, maybe one or two, and he's got like he actually though was anti-Semitic, but
wait, what? Mike was going to say what? Did we all miss that? Is that because this is the Free Fag Edition? Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
He had to hide it. In order to hide it, he had to be doing stupid shit. I don't know. It's just, it's like...
When do you, if you're infiltrating, when do you get to stop hiding? The answer is you don't.
You don't. You don't get to stop hiding. And I don't know if Pedro saw himself as infiltrating. Certainly Nate Hockman is not an infiltrator.
Nate Hockman is being tossed around as an infiltrator.
He's not an infiltrator.
Like, that's who he's being discussed as by these people.
He's not. He's not an infiltrator. Because there's nobody, I'm telling you what, there's nobody you can hire that's 25 years old. And conservative that isn't like that. No one. None. You're not going to find a single person that's that age and not liberal that doesn't have these ideas. The problem you're actually running into is you can't just be Nazis.
Yeah,
that's the thing. You're excluding actually the kind of like edgy right wing politics that can actually win a mass appeal, and therefore you have. You're bringing in people who are adjacent to it, but they're not willing to go the route of actually being Nazis, and they're being they want to be inclusive of Jews and stuff like that. But because we're not monarchists or integralists or Catholics, and that it's sort of interesting to me that these people all glommed onto Donald Trump. The reason they did was because of like the edgy racist meme energy behind Donald Trump. But Donald Trump is a much better example of what you would need to win in this country than fucking the shit that they believe in, the shit that they got involved in order to do something right-wing intellectual that's not Jew-exclusive, you know? I mean, Neo Reaction was very much against the idea of excluding Jews. I mean, it was started by a Jew, and they always brushed up against anti-Semites, and then, of course, they start to do what they can to exclude anti-Semites. And they would try and characterize it as some kind of error, but they thought like edgy Nazi stuff was funny, and that's where Nate Hockman is. He's like, he's edgy. It's edgy, but there's no substance to it. Anyway, and Donald Trump is doing better politics this time around too. I mean, it's really funny. It's funny how he's instinctually just a better politician with a better sense of what the people he's talking to want to hear. He has like almost an instinct for it. They call him stupid all the time. He's really not. He's very good at instinctually feeling out the kinds of stuff that people want to hear and telling it to them. And it's not, we're going to have some kind of monarchist, Catholic, integralist state that occasionally does edgy Nazi memes.
Yeah, whereas DeSantis is sort of like a simulacra of a human, and he's trying to kind of feel out what he's supposed to do, but he doesn't quite get it.
He doesn't know, so he hires people, and then he ends up hiring people like Nate Hockman.
Yeah. Doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to be able to hire another 25-year-old Jewish right-winger who's not going to do the same shit. They're all going to do that same shit.
And he's just a privileged Florida man in a skin suit.
I just maintain you're not supposed to fire him. He's like, he's your Jew. He's your Jew that's managing this. He's managing your like online, your extremely online meme base.
Yeah.
You can't fire that
well,
guy.
Well, they can fire him also because it's not working.
Well, it's not going to work.
Yeah. If it was working, they maybe wouldn't have.
Yeah. It's definitely not going to work now.
Right. Well, it wasn't working. Yeah. I think that's another thing. Well,
that's the big thing on this whole thing is like nothing DeSantis is going to do is going to work.
Right.
So it's all moot. It's just somewhat interesting to analyze and think about what everyone's motivations were and what everyone's illusions and delusions are as far as this goes. Because basically what you're saying, what you're telling me here is that the young American right-wingers want the fascism. They just don't know how to express that. They don't know where to get it. And the older conservatives also don't know how to fool them into think they're getting it anymore. Except, well, I guess Trump kind of does. But DeSantis doesn't.
I would say that generally people that vote to the right in America would be a pretty receptive audience for something like, you know, because think about this for a second. What do you always hear people that vote Republican? What do they always say? Like, the party doesn't do anything, right? Like, it never gets anything done. Why don't we ever get anything done? But the Republican Party gets lots done. They just don't get anything done for you. Like, they get lots done for Israel. They get lots done for big companies, even as big companies go woke. You know, they get what they want on taxes. They get what they want on economic stuff quite often. We don't have national health care.
Held the line on that one.
Like, corporate tax rates are low, right? Like, regulatory oversight is very nil almost in America. Like, and frankly, open borders. We have open borders. So the reason it seems like the Republican Party doesn't get anything done, what people want are kind of like populist, quasi-racial politics.
Right.
Like, they want the government to give them money and to shut the border. Both of those are socialist impulses. Right? Like, why? It's funny because liberals are like the free market cosmopolitans when it comes to immigration. Conservatives want the border shut. And part of the reason they want it shut is jobs. They also want jobs to come back from China. So these are all of these are like nationalist ideas. So what they want is nationalism. Now, I'll grant some of them might be iffy on the idea of racial nationalism. They probably had to be sold on that. They probably would prefer some kind of civic nationalism. But it's still closer to the mark than this stupid, edgy, right-wing intellectual crap that is only uses occasionally some of the aesthetics of Nazism, and they'll even talk about it as only an aesthetic thing, right? Then you have BAP, who just does the aesthetics of homosexuality, right? And that's another thing. A lot of these people are gay. Like, there are probably some younger liberals that are gay, but I can't think of any younger conservatives that aren't. And conservatism is highly homosexual, like very homosexual. I'll bet you Nate Hockman is a homosexual. So, I don't know. That's kind of the idea I'm trying to get across, is like, they're kind of stuck because they're not going to be able to, like, they're stuck between like Reaganism or like really stupid politics, both of which are really stupid politics. The only one that gets it is Donald Trump, but they don't want to do what he's doing. They don't even want him around. He opens too many Pandora's boxes. Too many Pandora's boxes have been opened with him, and they want him gone. You know how bad they want him gone? He wasn't even invited to the Christians United for Israel conference.
Oh my gosh.
That's actually a real thing, though. I mean, that's actually an indicator, because literally every other fucking Republican luminary and presidential candidate is there. Mike Pence got an award as a defender of Israel.
It's a major award.
Oh, yeah. So if you don't get invited to that, and you're Donald Trump, the king of Israel, that's pretty important. I mean, that says something. That means the Jews are like, yeah, no.
The most fun monarchy.
No, we don't want
king of Israel can't even get invited to the party. Anyway, time for a break.
Yeah, I just got an announcement from somebody. Borzoi has a bicycle.
Yeah, he said he asked when did the gauges start growing in.
You want to talk about highly educated right-wingers that are really very weird. Now he's riding a bike. Highly educated right-wingers that ride bikes. That's really very weird. I don't know if he's highly educated, though.
Who, Borzoi? Borzoi is extremely educated.
Very smart.
Well, that... educated and intelligent are a different thing, my friend.
Well, I don't know about the ladder thing you just mentioned.
Intelligent?
Ladders?
Yeah.
Like things you climb
on? He may not be intelligent. He is educated.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm uneducated. I'm poorly educated.
I'm just poor.
Right. Well, actually, we're all poorly educated. No one here has a college degree, right?
I have like a fake one.
Okay, I'm poorly educated. You're
poorly educated.
Yeah, good. I'm happy. I love being poorly educated. Right. Because I'm not retarded.
Spike has a straight four. Why does it have all a straight four?
All right. See, I love this. Like, usually it's you thwarting my attempts to, like, host the show properly. Leave.
He's talking about bikes.
I know. Like, it's like I said, all right, well, it's time for a break. Oh, I just have an important announcement. And it's, like, totally unimportant announcement.
It's not important.
No, it's not important. I'm just going to, like,
and it's
bust
totally
balls
just, like, steamrolled, just hit the thing. Steamrolled the hosting of the show duties I was trying to do. Just hit the thing.
You are listening to The Daily Sewer.